Thanksgiving is behind us, and we thank the Lord for everything that He has given us. Thank you for friends, family, for gifts, and now we're looking forward to the Christmas season.
Oh boy!
And the gifts that come this year.
It is, you know what that's called? You know what, today, if you look on it at the bulletin, well, it says the word on here, it's called Advent. Has anybody heard of the word Advent before?
Yeah.
Advent, in it means coming, getting ready for. What are we getting ready for or coming for?
Christmas.
Well, Christmas. And what is Christmas? What is actually?
No, Jesus' birthday.
Right. So we're getting ready for Jesus' birthday. And on Christmas, which is his birth, when he was born. So there's a lot of different Advent things. One of the, this is also an Advent. Josie, just leave right there and you'll get one. Just a second. This is also an Advent calendar. And so every day, you open one up and you see until when. When is the last day you open it up?
25.
The day of what?
Christmas.
Jesus' birth. So, there's also the Advent wreath. And each candle on a Sunday, we're going to be lighting one candle each Sunday. And today we're going to light a candle. And then next Sunday, and the next Sunday. And then what is the middle candle? What candle would that be?
Jesus' birthday.
Jesus' birthday on Christmas.
Christmas.
Right.
What
so
about the pink one?
The pink one, that's going to be today. So I'm going to, each of you are going to get one of these. So I'm going to give you one of these. This is from Patty. So what you're going to do, every day, you're going to open one up until this is our two, what, two strings?
We're probably going to save those for next year because me and Tracer already have
one. You already have one? Okay. That could work. Or maybe you could give one to someone that doesn't. That could be, I don't know.
I don't have one.
You don't have one? Okay. So.
So.
and I are going to do a special thing. But these are from Patty, and she thought, would you guys like one, or do you think you're going to wait? Okay. So while you're sitting here, I'm going to do we're going to do the lighting of the Advent calendar. Today, we are going to light the Advent wreath. Okay, so Josh, you can sit right there. Just go ahead and sit right there. And then you can get ready for this. So this is the Advent wreath, and this is the candle of hope. So this is our first candle. With Christians around the world, we use this light to help us prepare our hearts and minds for the coming of God's Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. May we receive God's light as we hear the words of the prophet Isaiah. So Will's going to light the candle, and Jaden's going to read
Isaiah 9, verse 2 and 6 and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
So let us pray. Lord, as we look at the birth of Jesus, grant the light of your love for us. For you will help us become lights in the lives of those around us. Prepare our hearts for the joy and gladness of your coming. For Jesus is our hope. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So if you guys would like to come down, we're going to go downstairs. Josie, you can take one and give that to your mom.
Thank you, Carrie, very much. All right. Well, welcome to the Christmas season, the start of the Christmas season. Advent is something that is brand new to me, so I am excited to walk through that with you this year. It's Christmas season, and I think the world over, pastors approach this season with a mixture of expectation and maybe just a tiny bit of dread. And I say that because what you want to do, there's something humbling about standing before you and sharing God's word, because his word is so powerful and we're just so human. And you want to share God's word, and yet it's a story that people have heard 1,000 times. And I think that's a little bit of the dread that you kind of feel, is how can you tell a story that everybody already knows and has heard over and over and over again? How do you tell it and let people hear it afresh? And let them find something new in there, something that they will consider and ponder throughout the season of Advent. I grew up in a church that was non-denominational, is the word that you use. And non-denominational simply refers to churches like what we are, where we don't belong to a specific denomination. We're not Presbyterian or Methodists or Lutherans. We just are a community church. Does that make sense? And a lot of times, non-denominational churches don't have a lot of rituals. There's not a lot of things that they do or follow. A Methodist church, a lot of them do the same things this way. Lutherans do it this way. Catholic churches do it this way. But when you have a non-denominational church, all bets are off. You know? You do whatever the pastor's leading you to do that she feels God leading them to do. And there's the reason for that, I think, really became the separation between the people who did rituals that had no meaning. You just did them because you were supposed to. And we didn't want to be people who did things without meaning to it. But there's a balance, isn't there? Because there's a lot of things that we do that are rituals that have great meaning to us, that can provoke a lot of thought or a lot of joy. Every year we get a Christmas tree. I love to get a Christmas tree. My mother loved the holidays. I miss her more now than I ever do in the year. She loved Thanksgiving to Christmas. When I get a tree, it's meaningful to me because it reminds me of some special things. And that's what we're going to do with Advent, with lighting the candles. It's going to remind us of some special things that we hold dear. Advent is described as the season celebrated by Christians as a time of waiting for and anticipating the celebration of Jesus' birth, as well as his second coming. And that's just simply what Advent means. And the first Sunday of Advent is the Sunday of hope. There's hope, and then peace, and then joy, and then love. I think those are the four that Advent has us focus on. And as soon as I started researching this and trying to learn more about it, and I saw the first Sunday was hope, to be honest, a little air went out of my balloon. I was a little disappointed because hope is kind of hard to grasp sometimes. It means so many different things to so many different people, and it isn't something that you necessarily give a lot of thought to. I grew up in a religious family. Both of my grandfathers were pastors. A number of my uncles on both sides of the family are pastors. There isn't a time that I can remember in my life where we didn't have hope. The hope of heaven. The hope that Christ brings, because that's just how I was blessed to be raised. And so it was a concept that I've just taken for granted, I think, all of my life. And it was like, wow, how do you explain something that you've just never given a lot of thought to? It's just what it is. But to be honest, in our church, hope was hardly ever talked about. We didn't talk about hope, and we didn't really talk about heaven. As important as those are, we just never talked about them. It just is what it is. And we moved on to other things. And I grew up in a church where rules were really important, so we talked a lot about what to do. A lot of those. But we didn't talk a lot about hope. We heard token sayings, there's hope in Christ, because of Christ's death we have hope. But nobody ever really talked much about that hope. And apparently, I was supposed to absorb hope by sitting in a church pew. Like a frog, you absorb water just by sitting there. And yet, in some respects, we do, don't we? The more you come and the more you're here, the more it just starts to become a part of you. I've listened to far too many people in churches offering what I consider to be false hope. Basically, the idea I heard off and on was something like, come to Jesus, he'll solve all your problems and everything will be good. Jesus heals everything. We need to put a comma there and say, but not always in this life, okay? But you would hear that. The sayings, oh, God is good all the time, God is good. And sometimes there's that false hope that if I just embrace him, everything's going to get better. And it doesn't always, does it? Because real life is hard. And yet for many, that quick, instant, magic potion type false hope, if that's what you kind of think it might be, it can leave you feeling left out. Those lovely Christmas card verses that you get and you read them and they don't really apply to you. Or it's not working that way this year. You'd sure like it to be like that. But God's promise of hope in Jesus, you can lean on. It isn't shaky, even if it kind of feels like it at different times in our lives. So, what does the concept of hope that comes from knowing Jesus mean to us? And you'll notice I wrote that in your bulletin. If you look on the inside, it's a question I kind of want you to ponder off and on throughout the week. I don't ask this very often, but maybe stick it on the refrigerator or somewhere. Will you look at that? And I want you to consider the hope that Christmas brings, the hope of Christ means what to me? What does that mean to you? What does it mean to me? The definitions of hope, I looked it up, are this. Hope is to cherish a desire with anticipation. Or a feeling of expectation and a desire for certain things to happen. The feeling that what is wanted can be had. Or that events will turn out for the best. The holidays are full of hope, are they not? I look forward with great anticipation to my family coming this visit. We have hope in all kinds of big and small things, don't we? Our grandson Gavin has been diagnosed on the autism spectrum. And he loves to take little things, and he loves little animals, and he loves to line them up. And he's brilliant. He knows these are the ocean animals, and these are the jungle animals, and these are all the insects, and these are all that. And he loves to line them all up. Well, I don't have a lot of toys yet, so I went online and I ordered a whole bunch of them, and I was so excited. And I kept checking that delivery date online. And I so was hoping that it would get there before he did. What is, you know, it isn't a big deal. But every day I went to the mailbox and was like, come on, get here before he does. I hope that shows up because I want him to enjoy those things. I hope that my family gets here safely. I hope that the turkey turns out and that I don't burn it again. The closer that things get, sometimes the more anticipation builds, doesn't it? And that's the goal of Advent, that as we get closer to remembering when Jesus was born, that hope builds, that joy builds, that peace builds. Proverbs 13:12 is a verse that says this, "Hope deferred or hope delayed makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life." I'm sure if I asked you to name something that you are still hoping for, you could come up with something. Am I right? Something you've been hoping for a long time that still hasn't come true yet. Can you think of something? Hope deferred sometimes can make us heart sick. But dreams fulfilled are a tree of life. So when we talk about hope, let's start by looking at the opposite of it for just a moment, all right? Hopelessness, despair. Do you ever have that feeling of what's the point? Why bother? It's always been this way. No matter how hard I try, things just stay the same. Don't talk to me about hope. You say, I just don't have hope right now. So much of what happens here on this earth and in our lives is outside of our control. If you were to make a box of things that you have control over, and stand in that box, it would be a very small box. Have you discovered that? The older that you get, the more you realize you don't have a lot of control over. Who lives, who dies, who loves, who doesn't, who's close, who's far away, how much expendable income you have, how much your health is. And you have some control over those things, don't you? But not all. There's a lot of things that we hope for. So I'm going to suggest a different definition of hope. Hope comes from a choice that we make. Hope is a choice to embrace Emmanuel. Emmanuel is the very concept of Christmas. That is our hope. Emmanuel means God with us. And that's exactly what we need every day, in every way, God with us. Hope is the opportunity to have Christ fill us. There's a song that says there's a God-shaped hole in every one of us. Have you heard that song before? There's a God-shaped hole in every one of us. Every one of us has a hole that we need to have filled. And it's meant to be filled by God, by Jesus, by our relationship with Him. But when that feels empty, sometimes we go to a lot of places to get it filled. I keep myself so busy, I try to stay so busy, I never notice that it's empty. Maybe alcohol is where I try to fill that hole. Maybe someone who drugs is how they try and fill that hole. Have you found that there's a hole that needs to be filled? A God-shaped hole. We may not be able to alter the situation that we find ourselves in. Remember, we did the story of Corrie Ten Boom, who spent years in a concentration camp with her sister. And her sister perished there, and she did survive and went on to have a wonderful ministry of reconciliation after World War II. But the situation that she was in, she had no control over, and it must have felt hopeless. And yet she chose not to give in to hopelessness, but to hang on to her hope. Her hope in Christ. Whether that hope was fulfilled here or in heaven as it was for her sister, she wanted to hang on to hope. Because hope is the ability to allow ourselves to be filled with the Spirit of God Himself and use His eyes to see those challenges that we face that can seem hopeless. Before Jesus came to the earth, before He died on the cross, people didn't have Emmanuel. They didn't have God with them and God in them. God was over them and answered prayers, but it's not the same. The blessings of being a Christian are that God is with us. God is now in us. I want you to imagine living without access to God, like we get to have access to Him now. The hope that we have is God in us. I believe the underlying hope we have by putting our faith in Jesus Christ is this, that one day we will be face to face with Him. Heaven is the reality that brings us all back together. To trust that heaven is there and it's the place where things are going to be made right. That's the hope of heaven. This earth is not all there is. Because Christ came into this world as a baby who would grow up to face everything that you and I have faced. Scripture tells us everything that you and I have gone through, He walked that road. He knows it because He lived it. He became God with skin on. Before Jesus came to this earth as a baby, God was in heaven. And Christmas came, and God came and lived here and took on the limitations of a physical body. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound very appealing to me because I'm looking forward to the opposite. I want to let the human body go and embrace the new body that God's going to give me. But Jesus said, I will come down and live as a human, and I will live and go through everything that my people go through. And then die on the cross, be born to die, to take away our sins, so we don't have to live in a world without Jesus, without Emmanuel in us. That is the relationship that we talk about over and over and over again. Hope is God coming to earth as a baby, so that life can be different. Brian and I spent a lot of time talking about hope this week because I said, you know, really, this is just, it's kind of hard to grasp, isn't it? It's not as concrete a concept as a lot of other things. I said, tell me what hope is to you. If you are going to tell me what hope is to you, what is it? And those are some long conversations. And we came down to, for him and for me, that hope is that this earth is not all there is. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. If this is all there is, some of us are getting ripped off. Are we not? And we are in way better shape than people who live in other parts of the world. They're really getting ripped off. If this is all there is no hope. You might as well live and do whatever you want to do. If there's nothing beyond this, it really is hopeless, is it not? What's the point? But this is not all there is. God came to earth to be born, to die, to take us, when this earth is done, back to heaven with him. A new heaven, he promises us, and a new earth. And I don't know about you, but I cannot wait to live on a new earth that has no sin. I want you to imagine living in relationship with people without sin. We can't do it, can you? You can't even wrap your mind around that. Imagine a world back to what it was when God first made it, perfection. Forever to learn new things, to do new things. Heaven is not us sitting around the throne and singing hymns until we're a million years old. I'm sure there'll be times of worship like that, but everything God created for us, we can use to worship him. Relationships that we engage in are a way to worship him. Serving one another is a way to worship him. Imagine forever to do that together, because this world is not all there is. Brian said this, but remember, we talked about this. For those of us who have welcomed Emmanuel into our lives, this earth is as close to hell as we'll ever get. But for those who close their heart to Emmanuel, this is the closest they're ever going to get to heaven. Hard words to hear, aren't they? But they're true. this life is not all there is. We have hope that things are going to be made right. We have hope because our Savior came to earth. We have hope that we're going to stand before Him, and things that were hard, Paul says, will be as nothing when we get there. That we will be able to be whole. There won't be that hole anymore. We will be filled. That's our hope. And we carry that hope through us every day of our lives, and it impacts how we live in life, does it not? We live as people of hope. Because this is not all there is. And we're going to a better place. Lord, thank you that we have hope that we can let sink way down deep. Hope that we can cling to when things around us look hopeless. Lord, may we embrace you. May Emmanuel, you with us, become a reality, especially during this season. We're walking toward the time when we all remember this is when we celebrate your birth. We have so much to be thankful for. Thank you for coming to earth. And Lord, would you fill us up with hope this week? May we experience that in a new way, in a fresh way. We love you and we thank you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Would you be standing? I pray that throughout this week, you will begin to discover, what does hope mean to me in a new way? Go in the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.